Well, hello everyone. This is Stephen Cohen from the beautiful metropolis of Colorado Springs, here for the latest installment of Quantitative Investigations. I am proud to announce that we actually have had over 200 people listen to this podcast, which is probably 199 more than I thought would actually listen to it. I know it's been a long time since I've posted an episode. Funny things happen when the price of uranium goes above $91 a pound. My life gets very hectic, and I haven't had enough access to my engineer, Goose, because he's been otherwise occupied. I guess I'm not good enough for him anyway. So I'm taking care of this myself. What we're going to cover today is a review of some of the provisions of the Geneva Conventions. This is something I doubt anyone has really read. I can't say I've read them soup to nuts, but I have perused them because there are just some interesting provisions in there. And it is written as a law. I mean, they are written as rules for war, and there are signatories to these rules for war. And it's particularly pertinent right now with the Israeli-Hamas war going on. Hamas is obviously not going to be a signatory to the Geneva Conventions, and it shows. So we're going to go over that. Before we get started, I want to relay a conversation and some of the ramifications of this conversation with my youngest son. You know, he's not the brightest tack in the pack. You know what I'm saying? He's not the sharpest tack in the pack, which makes me not the sharpest tack in the pack either. I guess the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. He's not the sharpest tack in the pack, but occasionally he says something pretty profound. And we were talking about the 2020 election. We were talking about 2024. And, you know, dovetailing on my last episode, which dealt with the are we responsible for our votes, and focusing on the way Jewish people vote and how it adversely affects them. He just made the simple statement. He goes, "Dad, there just aren't enough people who can really envision the ramifications of what they do." And this was in the context of an article I had read where Jewish people were starting to buy guns because of all the anti-Semitism. Now, of course, in 2020, 80% of Jewish people voted for Biden. And most Jewish people, probably close to 80%, are vehemently against the Second Amendment. You know, they don't believe in guns. They don't believe people should own guns. There are some who don't own guns themselves, but do believe in the Second Amendment, which is actually my case before I moved from the People's Republic of Maryland to now the People's Republic of Colorado. If our people thought a little more about what they did and understood the ramifications of what they did, understood the Constitution, understood what our civil rights mean, I think we'd make better decisions on how we vote. So it was a very profound statement. I was very proud of him for making that statement, because it's a statement that people 2 to 3 times his age wouldn't even understand. And it's still going to have profound effects on the 2024 election. I don't hear too many Jewish groups rising up against the illegal banning of Donald Trump from primary ballots. You know, they're trying to invoke the 14th Amendment, Well, the 14th Amendment has multiple parts. There is the part where no one who is engaged in insurrection is eligible to run for federal office. Okay, but there's also a due process clause, I believe, in the United States Constitution. And these rogue legislatures or rogue secretaries of state, in the case of Maine, are just trying to ban him from primary ballots where he has never been charged with insurrection, and he won't be. Of course, he's never been found guilty, but yet they're trying to rob him of his First Amendment rights and rob all Republicans of their First Amendment rights. I mean, that in itself is proof positive that Democrats do not believe in a free United States of America. They do not believe in our democratic republic. They want to destroy it. Because if they are successful in eliminating Donald Trump from the Republican primary ballot, there's going to be an uprising. States are going to secede. Because you don't need any more proof than in election interference than that. I mean, that's worse election interference than anything Russia and China have done. So it is pretty amazing. And, you know, it's pretty amazing as time goes on with the Biden administration and who still supports Biden and who doesn't. It's kind of shocking. I was, there's a USA Today article, and it was written January 2nd, 2024, and where it states that Biden has now lost more than 20% of the black vote. Unbelievable. And, you know, his vote was previously in 2020, 87%. Now it's just 63%. But yet, on the other hand, in an NPR article, this is dated November 16th, 2023, more than a month after Hamas invaded and slaughtered 1,300 Jewish people, Israelis, and non-Israeli Jewish people, still 3/4 of Jewish Americans approve of Biden and the way he's handling the war. They're still on his side. You got to be kidding me. Remember what I've always said. Intelligence is not a grade point average. It's not a test score. It's a spectrum. And that spectrum runs from common sense to academic training. And I have to tell you, I don't know. I don't know who's acting. It's obvious to me who's acting a bit smarter here. Not a bit smarter, much smarter here. And that's the black voter. Now, there's still 63% of black people who support Biden. Quite frankly, I'm looking to see that drop to 50 by the time the election happens. But that is showing that black people are starting to wake up to see who the real racists in this country are. And it's the Democrats. From lack of school choice to the destruction of public schools to the welfare system that they created to destroy the nuclear family, and to their loose stance on drugs. And of course, the open borders, which deflates wages for a lot of working class people. It seems to be, though, black people and Hispanics starting to wake up, whereas Jewish people are still asleep at the wheel. Still asleep at the wheel. Even after all the anti-Semitism that's happened, which, by the way, I predicted in a conversation with Rabbi Susan Grossman, I think I said this in my last episode, Rabbi Susan Grossman, Beth Shalom congregation in Columbia, Maryland, 10 years ago. 10 years ago, I sat in her office, I scheduled an hour meeting with her, And the first thing I said to her when I sat down was, Jewish people are on the wrong side of history, and we're going to pay. And we are going to pay. Well, most of them will pay, not me. I have my guns, and I know how to use them. Anyone gets within 300 yards of me, they're getting a bullet through the head. But most people, most Jewish people don't have a clue. They're not aware of what's going on, brainwashed by the New York Times, CNN, MSNBC, NBC, ABC, brainwashed by all the liberal garbage. And it's on the news media and social media. It's kind of crazy. It's kind of crazy. What I'm looking for is a 20% drop in the Jewish vote for Joe Biden in 2024. I'm looking for that 20% drop. And if I don't see that 20% drop, that is a huge signal that my people aren't learning. But I'm glad other people are. And I'm glad the black community is starting to wake up. It's funny. There's a commentator named Charlemagne the God, and he said he's not supporting Biden. I can't remember if he said he's supporting Trump. I'd be surprised, but he's not supporting Biden. As a matter of fact, there was a leader of BLM who said he wasn't going to support Biden. I don't remember his name. So anyway, moving on to bigger and better things, let's talk about the Geneva Conventions. So I believe the first draft of the first Geneva Conventions came out in 1929. What I'm looking at now are the conventions that came out in 1949. There are a few parts. It looks like there are four parts. And they talk about protections for various populations. This is part two. It's called General Protection of Populations Against Certain Consequences of War. And this is going to be, let's see, where to begin. Begin in Article 14. So it says, in time of peace, the high contracting parties, which are signatories to the Geneva Conventions, after the outbreak of hostilities, the parties thereto may establish in their own territory and, if need arises, in occupied areas, hospital and safety zones, and localities so organized as to protect from the effects of war wounded, sick, and aged persons, children under 15, expectant mothers, and mothers of children under 7. So there are certain vulnerable populations that the Geneva Conventions definitely seek to protect. Article 15, any party to the conflict may either direct or through a neutral state or some humanitarian organization propose to the adverse party to establish in the regions where fighting is taking place neutralized zones intended to shelter from the effects of war the following persons without distinction: wounded and sick combatants or non-combatants, civilian persons who take no part in hostilities and who, while they reside in the zones, perform no work of a military character. So that's pretty interesting, right? Zones can be set up to protect civilians. And if one recalls, Israel did do this unilaterally because they gave at least a week's notice to people in northern Gaza to get out and go to southern Gaza. Because at that point, southern Gaza was going to be a neutralized zone. It's not anymore, but it was. And the Israelis did this on their own. Now, did Hamas do that? No, because then they went in and targeted civilians, raped women, murdered families, beheaded babies, burned babies alive. That's what Hamas did to civilians. Which, by the way, the Geneva, and although Hamas is not a signatory to the Geneva Convention, so they are not bound to keep those rules of war, you still don't necessarily have to act like a complete animal. But that's what they are. They're animals. They're unredeemable. Notice why I said Hamas. Parties to the conflict, this is Article 17, parties to the conflict shall endeavor to conclude local agreements for the removal from besieged or encircled areas of wounded, sick, infirm, and aged persons, children, and maternity cases, for the passage of ministers of all religions, medical personnel, and medical equipment on their way to such areas. The Israelis did this. The Israelis, well, they didn't have northern Gaza besieged, but essentially Gaza was besieged because they were surrounded on a few sides by the Israelis and by the Mediterranean Sea. And then you have the Egyptians who were not getting involved in the conflict, but they don't necessarily like Hamas. Parties to the conflict shall, insofar as military considerations permit, take the necessary steps to make the distinctive emblems indicating civilian hospitals clearly visible to the enemy land, air, and naval forces in order to obviate the possibility of any hostile action. Now, I'm focusing on Hamas, but the Russians, and of course, no one complains about the Russians and what they did. The Ukrainians marked a building, children, and then the Russians proceeded to bomb it, killing, I don't know how many, maybe 300 children. I don't know if anyone recalls that, but it was clearly marked, clearly visible from the air that children were in there. They bombed it anyway. But no one talks about the Russians and the atrocities that they committed. No one talks about that. Curious, isn't it? Here is a really important article. Article 19. The protection to which civilian hospitals are entitled shall not cease unless they are used to commit, outside their humanitarian duties, acts harmful to the enemy. Protection may, however, cease only after due warning has been given, naming in all appropriate cases a reasonable time limit, and after such warning has remained unheeded. I'm not going to sit there and tell you, well, first of all, a civilian hospital was bombed, but it was not bombed by the Israelis. It was bombed by Hamas itself because they messed up in one of their rocket launches. However, Hamas intentionally uses schools and hospitals for military purposes. I don't know how many miles of tunnels they have underneath hospitals. There was an eyewitness, a doctor in one of the hospitals that said he saw it was being used for military purposes. Shifa Hospital, I think that was a headline I saw. Shifa Hospital was a command center for Hamas. Now, is it against the Geneva Conventions to use hospitals for military purposes? No, it's not. But it just means that the enemy has a right to bomb that hospital then. Now, what's Hamas going to do? It'll store weapons and other hardware in hospitals, schools, mosques, and will leave all its civilians in those hospitals and build schools and whatnot. And when they're bombed, you get civilian casualties. They do this on purpose. They do this on purpose. Article 23, each high contracting party shall allow the free passage of all consignments of medical and hospital stores and objects necessary for religious worship intended only for civilians of another high contracting party, even if the latter is its adversary. So you have to let goods, medical and religious goods, to pass to people who need them. However, there are other considerations. There are conditions under which one party does not need to let those goods flow. And under Article 23, it says, the obligation of a high contracting party to allow the free passage of the consignments indicated in the preceding paragraph is subject to the condition that this party is satisfied that there are no serious reasons for fearing that the consignments may be diverted from their destination, that the control may not be effective, or that a definite advantage may accrue to the military efforts or economy of the enemy through the substitution of the above-mentioned consignments for goods which would otherwise be provided or produced by the enemy, or through the release of such material, services, or facilities as would otherwise be required for the production of such goods. The Israelis stopped the flow, at least at one point, stopped the flow of relief for those reasons. And they are entitled to do that by the Geneva Conventions. Right there, Article 23. The parties to the conflict shall take the necessary measures to ensure that children under 15 who are orphaned or are separated from their families as a result of the war are not left to their own resources, and that their maintenance, the exercise of their religion, and their education are facilitated in all circumstances. Their education, as far as possible, be entrusted to persons of a similar cultural tradition. Well, considering the fact that children under 15 were taken hostage and murdered, we know that Hamas didn't abide by that particular provision. So now we're in the section, provisions common to the territories of the parties to the conflict and to occupied territories. Protected persons are entitled. Now, a protected person, you have to go to the definition of a protected person, but you can assume it's just all civilians. But there is a specific definition of a protected person. It's someone who basically is not engaged in the conflict. Article 27. Protected persons are entitled in all circumstances to respect for their persons, their honor, their family rights, their religious conviction and practices, and their manners and customs. They shall at all times be humanely treated and shall be protected, especially against all acts of violence or threats thereof, and against insults and public curiosity. Women shall be especially protected against any attack on their honor, in particular against rape, enforced prostitution, or any form of indecent assault. Well, certainly Hamas didn't abide by that, did they? Not when they attacked Israel, and not with the women that they took captive. These are rules of war. This isn't black and white. Now, again, a terrorist organization is not going to abide by rules of war. They don't care. But if you're going to hold one party to rules of war, you must hold the other party, even if they're not signatories. Even if they're not. Just because they're not signatories to a treaty doesn't give them the right to act in a completely abhorrent manner. These Hamas people are just animals. They're pigs. They should be slaughtered. I challenge anyone to go look at pictures of the Israelis that were killed, the babies that were burned, and babies that were beheaded. Israelis don't do that. Matter of fact, the Israelis gave warning of when they were going to start bombardments, but Hamas did not treat their people even fairly. And if you read Article 27, it says protected persons are entitled in all circumstances to respect for their persons, their honor, their family rights, their religious convictions and practices, and their manners and customs. They shall at all times be humanely treated and shall be protected, especially against all acts of violence and threats thereof, and against insults of public curiosity. Well, if you're Hamas and you did not allow, if you held your own people hostage as human shields, is that complying with Article 27? Of course not. Of course not. Here's an interesting one. Article 28. The presence of a protected person may not be used to render certain points or areas immune from military operations. Guess what? Just because a protected person is in an area doesn't mean that the opponent, the adversary, doesn't have the right to bomb that area. This plays right into the hands of Hamas because they use the human shields, but this absolves Israel of that. If you're putting people in an area where you have gunmen shooting, well, just because those people there doesn't mean you can't attack that area. It means that Hamas is not living up to its obligations to protect its people. That's because they don't care about their people. That's because they abide by one philosophy. The ends justifies the means. It's the philosophy of tyranny. It's the philosophy of Stalin, of the Iranians, the mullahs. It's the Chinese, the Russians. It's the philosophy of tyranny. The ends justifies the means. And it's used here a lot too. And who is it used by? Yeah, you got it. Democrats. Democrats. Going back to the January 6th quote-unquote insurrection, if it was such an insurrection, why did Donald Trump approve 10,000 National Guardsmen to protect the Capitol? And why did Nancy Pelosi and the Sergeant-at-Arms reject that offer? They rejected it. They denied it. Multiple times, by the way. Why did the FBI have agents inside the Capitol? Why did Capitol Police let protesters in the Capitol and escorted them? Watch all the videotape. There's 40,000 hours of videotape. Of course, no one's going to watch it all. But I challenge you to just take a look at some of the video. I was watching the video, multiple videos where protesters, including the QAnon shaman with the long horns, being escorted by Capitol Police. Why isn't the Capitol policeman who murdered Ashley Babbitt, why is he still free? He murdered somebody. It wasn't self-defense yet. He murdered somebody. And he's free. The ends justifies the means. Keeping Donald Trump off the ballot. Trying to illegally impeach him. The ends justifies the means. This is a very slippery slope. Very slippery. Here's one kicker. Article 29. The party to the conflict in whose hands protected persons may be is responsible for the treatment accorded to them by its agents, irrespective of any individual responsibility which may be incurred. You're responsible. You as a warring party are responsible for protected persons, for their safety. Which means your own protected persons and other protected persons. Hamas is responsible for the protection of its own people. But Hamas doesn't care, because the ends justifies the means. No physical or moral coercion, this Article 31, shall be exercised against protected persons, in particular to obtain information from them or from third parties. Article 34. This is like one of the pièce de résistance. This is Article 34. One sentence. The taking of hostages is prohibited. Seems to me that that's been completely ignored. You know, again, I'd like to say, I think that's all the things I have highlighted in this particular I mean, these are relatively long documents, and I just urge people to, go looking through these things. Don't rely on the news media. Look at these documents, and then you get to understand what it is you can or can't do. It's pretty interesting. So I think I'm going to end this portion of the podcast and go on to what I promised. I promised that I'd have good news. I have to have some good news. So I'm going to read some headlines of some good news. This is from January. This website is called goodnewsnetwork.org. Miracle: evacuation from burning Japanese airplane credited to disciplined passengers and crew. That is amazing. It is amazing that people survived that collision. I saw the video of that collision. That would scare the living daylights out of me, that's for sure. Here's one. This is pretty interesting. Baby that had spinal surgery while in the womb can now walk and run. How about that? And that's pretty, I tell you, it is amazing what people can do with medicine these days. A golden retriever is nursing three African painted dog pups at Indiana Zoo after mother abandoned them. If anyone has ever watched the series Planet Earth, you have to find the episode on the African painted dogs. It's pretty interesting as they show, at least in this episode, I think there's only one episode on the painted dogs. They show one clan of painted dogs trying to destroy another clan of painted dogs, and the clans are actually matriarchal. And the aggressor clan is actually run by the daughter of the other clan that they're trying to destroy. It's pretty interesting. Pretty interesting. Let's see, what else do we have here? Hero dog wakes up owners after sensing fire across street. Bark was unlike any heard before. I had this experience. I was sleeping over at a friend of mine's house, upstate New York. We were staying in their guest room, which is next to the living room. One of their dog was in there. And I was kind of in the middle of the night, and he was barking. I didn't know what the heck it was. So my friend came down. She came down, and she knocks on my door, and she goes, "Steve, I need your help." Turns out the TV was smoking. This is true. The TV was smoking, so I got it, unplugged it. You know, I unplugged it and got it and took it out front. But this dog prevented a fire. Pretty damn interesting. All right. Spacefaring Japan may become the fifth country to land on the moon this month. Congratulations. I'm probably gonna have to retell my story, analysis of what happens if you mine the moon, because people are still talking about it, and it's the most god-awful, stupidest thing anyone can do. But we do stupid stuff sometimes. All right. Elderly woman's dream of petting a penguin is fulfilled for Christmas. It brings her to tears. I can safely say I've never had a dream of petting a penguin. I like penguins. I like all these shows on the emperor penguins and how the males sit there with the eggs in the middle of winter in -400 degrees Fahrenheit in 2,000-mile-an-hour winds, and somehow they live. Well, at least most of them do, and somehow they live with most of them not dropping the eggs. Or have you ever seen a penguin egg sit on the ice for a little bit? I think it's pretty humorous. Kind of just cracks and just freezes and cracks. But let's see what else we have here. Hey, look at that. Restaurants find companies to take their spent oyster shells to restore oyster reefs. Now, I was in the Bahamas with my family. We were on vacation. And they actually had these concrete balls that formed these artificial reefs right off the beach. Great snorkeling. I mean, I was like 2 inches away from a big sea turtle. Don't know what kind it was. I saw an octopus. I wasn't really thrilled to see the barracudas. They kind of made me a little nervous. But, all right, speaking of which, 100 tiny endangered seahorses released into Sydney Harbor with high hopes. My only response to that is, hope is not a strategy. Well, I think I'm going to go end it here. Listen, thank you very much, everyone, for putting me over the 200 listener mark. And it's been a pleasure, and I bid you a fond adieu.